You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
From the Civic Media studios in Green Bay, this is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt, a weekly program focusing on local issues, prominent local candidates, political experts, and community leaders, helping to build better communities. This is Lean Local. And now, here's your host, former Green Bay Mayor Jim Schmidt.
All right, welcome everyone to another episode of Lean Local, the show where that's what we do. We lean local into things that are important and going on here in the greater Green Bay community. You know, as you listen to the news, you read the paper, something that's been coming up for a long time is this Southern Bridge. And it seems like it's coming to fruition when you read, oh my gosh, this money's been allocated. This is going here. This is going there. No one better to talk to than the mayor of De Pere, who has been instrumental in this project, although it's a shared municipality plus the county plus the state from financing. We'll get to that a little bit later. But Mr. Mayor, welcome.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Congrats on a, you're just coming off the heels of a pretty successful De Pere Fest.
Very, very successful Celebrate De Pere. 1990 was the first year of Celebrate De Pere, so it was kind of an anniversary of sorts, but great weather, great weekend.
Yeah. You know, I was worried about the weather for you, because you don't, not every weekend was like the one we had this year.
No, most years it has not been that, so yes, yeah. We were very blessed.
Yeah, well, that's great. Mm-hmm. How's everything else going in your city?
Everything's going great. Yeah, it really, really is. We have a lot of people interested in moving in. That includes residents, future residents, and businesses, so we couldn't be happier.
And last time you were here, you talked about major development in that Shopko area. Mm-hmm. Your first parking ramp, is that true?
That is correct. So there are going to be six structures on that ground where Shopko was in De Pere. We'll break ground next month, it looks like, for our first parking ramp, 200-plus stalls, a hotel, a Marriott, between the Union Hotel and Associated Bank,
nice,
90 units, and then an apartment, 60 units. You can't build enough housing, apartments, houses, townhouses, condos, et cetera.
Isn't that the truth?
That's the truth.
I mean, how were those going to be priced at? Was workforce, market?
You see different numbers. I think pretty much the same. I always tell people, I have a daughter that lives in a one-room apartment in Bellevue, and that's about $1,200. For a one bedroom. Actually, she's in Hobart right now, but kind of in that range. I'm assuming between 900 and 1500, but don't have the exact numbers.
I guess my question was, is it workforce? Is it subsidized? It's not.
It is not.
Okay.
Always try to encourage that. You always try to see what you can do to get some of the units, and maybe it's still possible.
Yeah. But the big project, I don't know how much that project is that you're doing on Shopko. That's got to be a few bucks, though.
About an $80 million build out.
Okay. Yep. All right. Half the price of what the Southern Bridge is going to cost you.
Yeah, half the price of the old South Bridge connector.
Let's talk about that. This is something that's been, I was surprised when you said like the 60s, 70s, this has been talked about since.
Yeah, before 1970 that the county has talked about it, De Pere and other municipalities. So what, almost 70 years right now.
Speed of government. But it's going to happen.
It's going to happen. It's going to happen. And I know when Mayor Mike Walsh was finishing up, you know, about 2020, there was some good movement, but nothing like this at the county level. So we're pretty excited about this.
So I know we're on the radio and you've got maps in front of you, but kind of tell our listeners about what's going to happen. I want to talk about the economic impact, and I kind of get what's going on here, but this is a significant project.
Significant project. So, well, they'll have to kind of imagine what I'm talking about here, but you go from Highway 41 on the west side of De Pere, between West De Pere and Lawrence, and then you go on what's known as South Bridge, which is in our West Business Park, West Industrial Park.
Excuse me, but right now you cannot exit 41 to South.
On South Bridge, you cannot right now. Right now, they're doing the new.
That's what I thought.
They're doing a new build out right there, so then you can do that. Yes, you are correct. So they're working on that part. That's the first part of the whole project. So now we know what's happening. The first part actually started in Lawrence, but this is now the second part that will go to Lawrence Drive. So that we're pretty excited about. So it's happening.
And that, we'll call that an interchange.
An interchange, yep.
year two. How long does it take to build those things?
Yeah, so this, so the interchange is, so the beauty of all this is the Highway 41 expansion from De Pere to Appleton is pretty much going on at the same time. Yeah. So the interchange that we're talking about, that's really the start of the Southbridge Connector, coincides with the project for Highway 41.
And that Highway 41 is a great project.
Great project.
I love good roads.
The expansion of those lanes. I love infrastructure, love roads. I know Governor Evers mentions that all the time. And actually, quite honestly, most of our representatives in this area are the same way.
You know, and everybody talks about high-speed rail, and I get that. But, boy, there's nothing like a great highway with the cars we have. I love it.
And, I mean, there's a possibility Amtrak could make its way here. We're having conversations along the entire corridor with elected officials. And that could be a possibility within 10 years. But that would just add to how good we have it.
Right. I'll take the road first.
Okay.
So that interchange or that is being, not interchange, that ramp is being built right now as we speak. Where does it go and how does it really impact? I think everybody's familiar with the bridge by St. Norbert downtown.
Yes.
And it's very, very, very congested.
Yes, it's very congested. You know, tens of thousands of vehicles traffic that every day, including the trucks, you know, all those kind of things. The misnomer is that this is going to be the second De Pere Bridge. In reality, it's actually a county bridge. It's a county-led project. Clearly, we'll benefit from it with hopefully, you know, helping traffic in the downtown De Pere area. People are still going to, you know, obviously transverse that bridge in downtown De Pere, but it will benefit greatly. The whole county will benefit greatly from this new Southbridge connector. As I like to describe it, you know, pretty much the continuation of the beltway around the Green Bay area, the greater Green Bay area, northeastern Wisconsin, which is about 300,000 people.
Right. The South Bridge, where will that, right out, if you look at that right now, it's not the most populous part of our county.
Not really. It's picking up. You know, as we like to say, there's over 100 acres of developable property on the west and east corridor of the Southbridge Connector, and that can be businesses, residential, et cetera. A number of folks own property along that corridor, so you're going to see those areas developed, or they're going to want to develop that area. I would say on the west side and the east side along this corridor, the connector area, that's our business industrial park on one side of it, has grown tremendously in anticipation of this.
And that's a great industrial park.
Yeah, they both are, and both heavily occupied.
Right.
Green Bay Packaging, Georgia Pacific, Bellmark, Amerilux, we can go on and on.
Yeah. What are you expecting, though, for growth? You talked about, you know, commercial, residential. Do you see a lot of rooftops and some retail and a school, or have you, how far out do you guys, I mean, you've been working on this thing for 50 years.
For 50 years, but really until you get into the guts of it, you just don't know. As we like to say, there's over 100 acres of developable property. Now, some of this property is owned by someone right now, so it just doesn't transform right away. We don't have hard numbers like you're going to see 1,000 multifamily units, you know, within 2 years of the 2030 finish. We know it will be significant.
All right.
That's the best way to describe it. I'm not holding things back because businesses are making decisions.
Well, the market,
developers are making decisions. They will drive what happens.
The market will drive a lot of that. But it seems like the Southern Bridge Corridor is going to be beneficial to the industrial park.
It definitely will. And again, to go back to what you said, I'm not going to, you know, shy away from saying that there's going to be incredible growth in that area. But to pinpoint numbers on that, we can't. But yeah, our business parks are pretty full.
Yeah.
And have drawn lots of interest, and people want in because obviously this corridor will help them deliver product and get product in.
Will this area, especially right off the interchange, be branded as something, some name? I mean, what... You know what I'm saying? How you get the Eastern Park, this park, or this section? Because it's a little bit you and a little bit Lawrence, right?
It's pretty much a lot of us. So Lawrence pretty much is the entire side west of Highway 41. And then it's pretty much us after that all the way till it gets to Ledgeview. So there's only really three municipalities and then four with Brown County that are participating. As far as a name, I've heard of nothing right now. We were asked to name two things. One, the entire road. So right now it's Southbridge on the west side. And then when it crosses to the east side, that's Rockland Road. So De Pere residents know where the compost site is. Bellmark built a big plant. That's Rockland Road. So the name that we came up with in a vote 2 or 3 years ago was Generations Boulevard, which was named as a homage to the Menominee tribes and the multi-generational families. And it's just something that some of our elders thought was very significant for this area. because the DOT asked us, the county said, we need a name because we have to start branding this thing. We gave them a name. So that'll now no longer be Southbridge and Rockland Roads. It will be Generation Boulevard. That's happening in time, over time.
But you guys like the name De Pere. I thought with East De Pere, West De Pere, South De Pere.
Yeah, I know what you're getting at, and that's not going to happen.
Okay.
You know, also, too, quick tidbit, we also were asked to name the bridge or come up with the name. Haven't really been asked, but technically we're funding a lion's share of the bridge. Well, actually, really, it's a state, but we're heavily involved with it, and we did come up with the name. You want to know the name of the bridge?
I do.
We're hoping it will be. Yeah. A guy named Arthur Altmaier was a De Pere resident, graduated De Pere High School around 1914, went to Madison, Wisconsin, became an expert in pension from around the world and the new pension system. As we know, before the 1930s, there wasn't a pension system for senior citizens. So Roosevelt, recognizing that one of the eminent scholars in the world was a guy named Arthur Altmaier from the University of Wisconsin at Madison, had him come up with this Social Security Administration. So the guy from De Pere came up with the blueprint for the Social Security Administration we have. He was named the first Social Security Director under Franklin Roosevelt and was one of his leading advisors. Did you know that?
I did not.
And there's a building named after him in Baltimore, Maryland called the Arthur Altmaier Social Security Building. So we think it's pretty fitting that something should be named after Arthur Altmaier. How about that, huh? We're big into history. We're big into history.
Okay, kids, come out here, stand on the bridge, history time. No, that's...
Yeah, it's fascinating.
That is pretty cool.
We hope it finishes
that way. Are you serious about that?
We are very serious. Really? We actually voted on it. It's now kind of in the county's hands. So the more I say it, hopefully the more pressure on them to name it that bridge.
Arthur Altmaier Bridge.
Look it up.
I will. That's you learn something new every day. That's I'm good for today. How, this funding, this is expensive. What did you say,
$183 million right now. $183 million.
And your municipality, the city of De Pere, is paying for part of it.
Right. Our share right now is about $28 million. It ebbs and flows. Right. Not down, but up.
So where does that special assess, where does that come from?
You know, there's ways you can, let's just put it in perspective. Our city budget, I don't know, $55 million, all in with, you know, utilities and all that kind of stuff. Clearly, that's a big chunk of money. We could borrow. But we have something called TIDs, tax increment districts, along that corridor with the businesses. So we can tap into those TIDs as part of our financing tool, and then we can pay it off that way. So that's kind of the direction we're going.
That makes sense. Mm-hmm. I mean, God forbid, you would never think of tolls or anything, would you?
No. You imagine a toll on there?
No, I can't. I'm not.
Or a wheel tax?
No, I'm not. Well,
you want a wheel tax?
No, sir. I'm good. Well, if it goes to the right thing, I'm okay with it. Just if it gets diverted.
So those are our two options, the tax increment districts, or you can borrow, obviously.
So you don't see a lot on the residential property tax.
What do you mean?
I mean, if you go into the TID, they're going to help finance that. It's not my taxes in my house on George Street are not going to go up because of that.
But we always like to tell people that tax increment district money it's not going to go to something else now, and that's the downside of it.
Right.
But it's going to something extremely important. So,
pretty exciting. How's the collaboration on this? I mean, because how many municipalities? You got the county, you got Lawrence, you got you.
Yeah, so really, we're working very closely with the county. They're the lead on this. Chris Hardy now is in charge. Cole Runge was in charge before that.
Right.
So it's been going very well.
And as you know, Chris is our next guest to talk about the X's and O's. You're more the marketing and I'm going to say the sizzle, but I mean.
Hopefully what I'm saying is correct. So Chris can correct all that.
All right. Are you listening to Lean Local? Jim Schmidt, our special guest, Mayor Jim Boyd, talking about the Southern Bridge. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Everybody wanna know how it feels. Everybody wanna see.
You're listening to Lean Local with Jim Schmidt. We have our special guest in-house, Mayor Boyd from the city of De Pere. And what we're talking about is that Southern Bridge. There's been a lot of chatter on it. It's actually been talking about it for some 40, 50 years. Mm-hmm. And it's coming along. It's coming to fruition, right? I mean, there is shovel in the ground, right?
Or... shovel in the ground. It started.
Okay. And after 50 years of talking about it, do you feel consensus? Is everybody on board?
You know, I mean, there have been people that have been there for quite some time along the corridor. Some that have just sat on the property and they're kind of speculators and don't know what to do with until this happens. And of course, there's subdivisions that have grown, you know, along the corridor as well. So I think the county has worked very hard, you know, acquiring property, easements, et cetera, needed to do these massive infrastructures. And in doing so, not everyone's going to be happy, but you try to mitigate it the best you can. There could be noise barriers, you know, placed in certain areas, and they'll investigate that because they have to meet certain warrants. You know, you're looking at, you know, potentially, you know, as far as speed limits are concerned, for perceived noise along the corridor. You know, you got to understand that people have been there for a while, and of course not everyone's going to be happy, but you do the best you can to try to mitigate this and then move forward.
So if some people aren't real happy, there's got to be people who are ecstatic. And I would, in that category, I would probably put some of those truck drivers, right? Because they can get into some of that industrial park a lot quicker than going through your city.
Yeah, clearly the business parks, our business industrial parks, those folks are quite happy with this. So this is going to help considerably with the connectiveness from Highway 41 to Highway 43, bypassing the through city.
Right.
But, some of the residents and subdivisions, they will have, and I'm sure, some legit concerns. So you do the best you can to try to alleviate the concerns and then, you know, put up barriers and try to be respectful of what they're going through.
And the land that's out there, it's buildable? I mean, there's no wetlands or anything? You're in pretty good shape?
Yeah, 100 plus acres, I'd say the majority is buildable. Yes, absolutely.
That's pretty cool.
It's really, really cool. And like I said, I mean, as far as the municipalities, Brown County's got the lead. You just really have Lawrence, De Pere, and Ledgeview. It does not involve Rockland at all. So in a way, that kind of helps a little bit when you kind of limit the municipalities involved. But by and large, all the parties have worked very well.
So are there large plots of land, 30, 40, 50 acres, that are owned by one person? Like, who owns all the land?
Yeah, I mean, you can look at the maps. You can just kind of Google the maps and you can, you know, see the parcel names of people. But yes, there are people that own large tracts of land along that corridor. Yes.
And they're probably sitting with developers, plotting some things out.
Like I said, there's been speculators that have been sitting on the land for a while, and now's their time to try to, you know, try to cash in. Yeah. And we'll see how that goes, you know?
So the timing on this, I mean, I think nobody more than the mayor loves to see a shovel in the ground, because that means the gun's off, you know, start.
Yeah, and the shovels in the ground officially went in when I was gone on one of my rare vacations in Ireland. So I missed the big groundbreaking that we've been working on for 60-plus years, and that was 2 weeks ago. So the shovels are in the ground, and we're going.
And give me a best-case timing on...
We're looking at right now finish... 2030 is the number. And again, with a project this large, it wouldn't surprise me if it goes beyond 2030, but that's the projection. 2027 was when all the design elements for every segment along the Southbridge connector will be done, and then the rest of it will be start construction in 28. The west side will be done first, east side, you know, second, and then the bridge in between.
And I think, I don't know who the mastermind was of this, but I think it's awesome that you're doing it in conjunction with 41.
Yeah, you would think that somehow that was worked, you know, together and people thought this one out. I'm not 100% sure.
Or really think it's just kind of coincidental happenstance?
Just how the stars aligned, you know. Wow. I'm sure when one project and saw the other project and realized, you guys are pretty close, let's go with it. So I'm not sure which one got greenlit first and which one happened after, but they are pretty much simultaneous right now. So it's great.
So tell me the funding mechanisms again. I know De Pere. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the state's got to be in.
Yeah, so let's just, the bridge itself, the structure is $50 million approximately. We got $50 million from the state DOT about 4 or 5 years ago, a commitment. And then Senator Baldwin helped secure funds for $5 million.
Okay.
So the bridge structure itself, $50 million. And then the rest, just take 50 minus $183 million. You got $130 million for the rest of the roadway and everything else. So the county pays for half. But in doing so, when I say that, we're also trying to secure money from the state. and the federal government constantly. So we're not done soliciting money. And that's probably the biggest part of my job is, and you know this as well, we're fundraisers. And then we have to talk with people and try to get stuff. You know, there's a budget coming up with the governor's budget.
Right.
So we're trying to get money infused there. Our local legislatures, and I just want to single a couple out, Senator Winberger, Representative Franklin, Senator Wall, are all huge proponents of this infrastructure project. So we're
very grateful for
that. And that's both sides. And I love to see both sides get together and talk. Isn't that refreshing?
Absolutely.
And I'm seeing that right now, and it's very, very encouraging.
That's awesome. But with all this that's being done, it's not going to tap into our Social Security?
Not going to tap into our Social Security. Nope.
That's my little joke because...
Is that a joke? Yeah,
did you get it, Kyle? Because you're naming the bridge after the Social Security guy. That was my joke.
Now I have that.
Geez,
that's when they got that golden wide receiver from Texas, and they kept referencing green and gold.
Right.
It takes
a
while.
See, it does.
You got, Jim, that was a great finish.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor.
Wow,
I'm glad that was there. All right. Hey, this is exciting. Your whole community seems to be hitting on a lot of cylinders right now.
Yes, we are. We're pretty blessed, and we are. We have very talented people working with our organization, but our residents are incredible.
All right. Well, that's because they've got good leadership there with you. So,
Thank you.
Mayor Boyd, thanks for joining us today. We're going to have the engineer on.
Chris Hardy.
Who's going to tell us a lot about the X's and O's and some things that maybe people won't be interested in, but on the other hand, some people love that stuff.
He will give great information.
That is one smart dude.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
yes. I'm glad you have him coming in.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
You are welcome.
You're listening to Lean Local with Jim Schmidt. We'll be back with the engineer in just a minute.
From the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt, a weekly program focusing on local issues, prominent local candidates, political experts, and community leaders, helping to build better communities. This is Lean Local. And now, here's your host, former Green Bay Mayor, Jim Schmidt.
All right, welcome everyone to the second half of Lean Local. As you know, today we're talking about the Southern Bridge, something that we've been talked about for some time in this community, and we want to thank the mayor for coming in and giving us the more marketing, the sales side of it. But these things don't happen without a really good engineer, and he's in-house. Before I get to our highway commissioner, let me just give a plug for one of our sponsors, Pella Windows and Doors here in Green Bay. It's just a great company. We have it's such a plethora of products. And what I like about Pella is they'll come over to your house. They take a look at it. They will show you on the iPad different styles, different colors. My house is a little bit older, 115 years old. There's other houses that are more modern. And we both want good quality windows, but the styles are totally different. And Pella has both varieties. The other thing that is they're big on is doors. And as you know, your energy goes through the windows and doors. And you want to save some money in the winter and keep the air conditioning in the summer. Good windows and doors is what you got to do. And Pella has different financing options for you. Just a great company, local company. They do so much in the community here. So I just want to, again, I want to thank them for sponsoring Lean Local. If you want to go to their website, PellaWI.com, or you can give them a call right here in Green Bay, 920-435-3791. Pella Windows and Doors. So the Southern Bridge, nothing new. We've been talking about it, as Mayor said, almost 60 years. But and some people are like, oh, my God, why does it take so long? I'm not really sure, but something that's $180 million shouldn't be done overnight. It needs to be discussed. And we have with us the highway commissioner. Now, for those of you who know a little bit about how things work, well, I'll just cut to the chase. He's the top dog when it comes to the engineering and this project. And Chris Hardy, welcome.
Thanks, Jim.
Yeah,
appreciate
glad you're here.
Being here.
So how long have you been the highway commissioner here in Brown County?
So I've been the commissioner here since almost a year now. It'll be a year on June 24th.
little baptism by fire with this thing?
Well, yeah, we certainly got thrown in the deep end with this project, but that's okay. I've been around construction my whole life. I've been working in construction since I graduated back in the late 80s, and so I've been in a lot of different projects.
From this area, were you a Wisconsin guy?
Yep. I grew up in the Janesville area and went to school at Platteville.
Oh, good.
Spent about 5-6 years traveling all over the United States, building large construction, underground and surface projects, and came home in the early 90s, came back to Wisconsin, and got into public works around 2009. I got into village employment, and then I went to Columbia County as 10 years for the highway commissioner there, and then I moved here.
So this is a big deal. I mean, we talked a little bit before we came on the air. The coal piles is a big deal. I mean, all cities are doing roads, streets, some things, but every, I don't know, depends on the community, I guess, but every 10, 15, 20 years, there's a game changer, a significant project, you know, and this is one of them right here. Tell me, for our listeners, from an engineering standpoint, what are we doing?
So, you're right. It is a big deal. It's very rare that a local government group of local municipalities get together, and this is what we call a major project, right? This is on the level of Wisconsin DOT, interstate, right, that type of stuff. It's a very large project, and those don't come along every day. This one is about connectivity. It's about growth. It's about employment. It's about economic development. Connecting the east side and the west side of the county to a major corridor, I-41. And so it's been in the works a long time. It takes a lot of effort from a lot of different people. Right now I'm the guy in charge, but there were people in charge before me. Mm-hmm. After it's built, there'll be people maintaining it after me. And so it does take a lot of people to pull this off.
Can you, like, walk us through the design of the Southern Bridge? Yeah, I know we're on the radio, but what makes it, like, structurally unique, or what are you going to put there?
Yep. We start on the west end with Packerland Drive. Right. We're doing a connection there to I-41. The state has agreed to build a new interchange for the county, which that alone is a big deal.
And that's under construction, correct?
Correct. That started last year. They had to do a lot of fill. Because the soils in Brown County, some of the soils at depth, and I'm talking 25 feet in depth, it's a real silty, soft, spongy material. And so that can create a lot of problems with settling as time goes on. And so they need to do what we call an early fill process there. And then it's a pretty amazing process how they do it. They drill holes and put a material in there, and it actually wicks that moisture out. So as the soils compress and compact, it pushes that moisture out through those, what we call wick drains, and then that reduces the likelihood of subsidence later on.
Yeah.
And so it takes a lot of time when you have those kind of issues. It takes a lot of planning, a lot of preparation. A normal bridge process that might be 8 months now becomes almost 2 years, you know?
Great.
And so there's a lot of planning involved. So that's the interstate bridge. We cross over the interstate then, and we go on to the De Pere side going east. That's our GV-14 section. So that's a roundabout with Lawrence Drive. That's really the first step on that side, connecting Lawrence Drive to that interstate. All of that from Lawrence Drive over to Packerland will all be open the end of next summer, like November of 2026. So you'll be able to come down Packerland and get on I-41. You'll be able to come down Lawrence Drive, turn on the Southbridge, and get over to 41. Then we go into GV-15. GV-15 involves a railroad crossing for the CN Railroad.
Right.
So that's from American Drive over to County D. County D is our landing then for the new bridge that'll go in, which we call GV-16.
Okay, and I know I think a lot of people know Lawrence and American. The Wisconsin Central, is that some of these tracks are, like, never used, and some of them are heavily used. Do you know what the frequency is on something like that?
It's moderate. They're telling us up to about 11 trains a day.
Oh, okay.
But some of that traffic is shuttling, because there is a lot of side usage there on that line. And so some of those trains that they're telling us are just shuttling cars back and forth for manufacturing or for industry. Right?
Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. So I just been by there, just never seen a train. But some of these things, it's so infrequent. And other ones, like, or maybe it's because I work downtown, seems like they're always there.
Right. Yeah. True.
Well, you work downtown too, so. Yeah. All right, so then we jump over to Lost Dolphin, right? Or wait a minute. Yeah, that's about where you're on D. Yeah,
Lost Dolphin, we're on D, so then that'll be the connection for the Fox River Bridge, which is a large structure that'll run across over to Rockland Land on Rockland Drive or Rockland Road. And then we'll run Rockland over to across 3257 and all the way over to Double P. And then from County P, we're proposed to go out through some agricultural land where we eventually make a bend and turn north to tie into County GV at County X at Heritage Road.
But when we talk about the South Bridge connection, in terms of building a bridge, is that G14?
No, so there's actually several bridges we're building. We're building a structure over Hemlock Creek, which is on EB39, and that'll start construction this fall and be completed next summer. And then we're building a underpass on the Wisconsin Central, so there'll be a new railroad bridge over the top of the highway, and the road will go just similar to Red Maple, although larger and different type of construction. But
so the trains aren't going to stop traffic?
No.
Oh, that's awesome. Why didn't we think of that? Right. Where the hell were you 20, 30 years ago, man? Yeah,
so that'll be
great. Okay, well, that's great. The way it looks, I'm reading this thing, it looks like, okay. Right. That's why I was asking about the frequencies. Is it going to stop traffic 10 times a day? It's never going to stop traffic.
It's never going to stop
traffic. Well, they can use it as much as they want then.
Right. It's a grade-separated crossing.
Okay.
And so, and then the Fox River Bridge is the third bridge we're building. There'll be 9 piers in the river. It's about, I got to think it's 11, doing some quick math here. It's about 1,400 feet in length to put perspective. Yeah. It will be about 30 feet from the deck of the bridge to the water surface, which is a height that's determined by the Army Coast Guard.
Yeah.
And then we have another bridge that goes in over the East River, way over on GV18. And so we actually have 4 bridges that we're building as part of this connector.
But sometimes when they talk about this, and I understand it's a Southern Bridge connector, so it's the whole project, but when they talk about the $50 million, something a little bit more expensive, is one more expensive than the other three?
Yes and no. So the Fox River Bridge section, right now, engineering estimate is in that mid-$40 million range.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The GV15, which is the Wisconsin Central crossing, the estimate for that section of road is in the low to mid $30 million.
Oh.
And so, and then even the larger section on the far east end, GV18, is around $20 million when you get done with the East River Bridge and all of the new construction that has to go in there. The interchange for the I-41 interchange section, the DOT has paid for that, and they're building all that. That's in the mid $30 million, and so, and when you get all done, it adds up to a lot of money, $180 million.
Right,
dollars.
Yeah,
right.
Well, that's significant. The bridges. I know you're the engineer and safety, but is the county or I guess the municipality that work on these things, are they doing some enhancements like fancy lighting? Or are they going to do anything kind of that we're going to get a Brooklyn Bridge, but
right. There is lighting planned on the corridor.
Good.
And
bridges can really make a community look
right.
Cool.
And it's a joint effort, right? It's the county and it's the city of De Pere, town of Lawrence, the town of Ledgeview. We're all partners in this. And so, yes, we do work together quite frequently and discuss those types of things. They all have a budget impact. So we do have to come back if we're going to do a... Yeah. Say we want to do a stone facade on the bridge, which is what De Pere is looking at and the county too. It's not final yet, but we're looking at it, and that has a cost. And what's the cost of that, and how does that fit with the funding, right?
Right.
And so, yeah, there'll be some aesthetics on the exterior of the bridges, the parapet walls. There's some railings that are going in.
Nice.
Around the railroad track, we have to do some retaining walls, and those will likely have an aesthetic piece to them. We're still unsure yet. Depending on the design that we end up with, certain types of design don't lend themselves real well to that.
No.
But it just kind of depends on when the soils are done and the engineers figured it out.
And I would like to think, and again, that's not the engineering's call, that's more the mayor, the county executive, but if these enhancements are like 2 or 3%, I think we really got to look at it. If it's significantly more, although 2 or 3%, on this kind of money can be significant. I just think it's worth looking at because when you build these concrete, just it just doesn't do it, you know.
Right. When the if you pull out the state's portion, that $35 million, right? So the project's about $145 million. The aesthetic pieces of it could be around 2.2. Okay. So it's a little over that 2%.
But okay. Yeah. I mean, come on, right?
But to give you a perspective,
yeah,
right?
It's. Mm-hmm. I just think that's. I don't know who's pushing for that. Besides, I'm sure the mayor is, because we always push for aesthetics, you know. But
well, yeah. The state program allows funding to be used for that now.
Okay.
There was a while where we couldn't.
All right.
But now we can.
Right. So. I want to just talk about some of you being the head engineer, highway commissioner for all of this. Like, what are some of your key milestones that you're looking forward to? And we're gonna take a little quick break. Do you mind?
Yep.
Just
no,
a couple
I don't
minutes,
mind at
and
all.
Then we'll be right back. We're here with Chris Hardy. This is one smart guy who the highway commissioner and is overseeing the whole project with the Southern Bridge connector. We'll be right back. This is Jim Schmidt with Lean Local. They keep trying too quick for the lines they throw. I walk to the sound of my own drum. It goes, they go, we go. Hey, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, here we go. Feel it in my soul. Really need it, need it so good. Gotta feed it.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us. How it feels, everybody wanna see what it's like. My baby wanna be a queen. Well, all right, we all deserve to find the things in this life.
Welcome back, everyone, to Lean Local with Jim Schmidt. We're talking with Chris Hardy here, who's the highway commissioner and really overseeing this whole Southern Bridge connection project. And it's fascinating what is all in there and how many different segments they are. But before we get back to Chris, I just want to give a shout out to another one of our sponsors, and that's Nicolet Bank. Yeah, Nicolet Bank is, you know, they started here in 2002. They've grown to 57 branches, four different states, and yet what I love about Nicolet Bank and Mike Daniels and his team of people there is they have kept their focus on this community. When you look around some of these events we have, from the farmer's market to activities on the city deck to homeless shelters and some other challenges we have here, Nicolet is always there. They're there with either with a team of people, or they're there with their finances, or a lot of times both. And you know, they're a good example to other businesses in Green Bay. And we have a lot of great businesses in our community and in Northeast Wisconsin. But when you look at what they do and how they do it, the effort they put behind being a community bank is just terrific. And I just want to thank them for what they do in Green Bay and also for sponsoring this show. So we're back with Chris Hardy here. We're talking about the South Bridge connection. And those of you who, I think everyone's heard of this, right? If you haven't, it's like, wow. But it's been around for 60 years in the talking. And the reason, though, we're doing this, I mean, we don't just do this for something to do. I mean, there's a major reason we're doing that. And you talked a little bit on break about why. Why are we doing this?
Right, yeah. It's all part of that connection for the county, right? I mean, if you think about it, we're connecting Packerland, which is all the way up at Velp, all the way around to GV and into Bellevue. And yeah. So we're connecting the east, the west, all the way through the south part of the county.
So the connector is one part, but then congestion's another reason
congestion,
you're doing this.
Yep, there's congestion at 172.
Right.
Claude Alloway Bridge in De Pere gets a lot of congestion.
Yeah, they do.
And so this should help alleviate a lot of that.
That's great. Hey, so this, I'll start with the last question. How long will this take? I kind of want to know that, but I also want to know what milestones you as the commissioner are looking for.
Yeah, so we had a big milestone here just in May. We did a groundbreaking ceremony for EB39. So we've started. We're moving dirt. 39 and 14 are going to connect to the interstate the end of next year. So
okay,
in the fall of 26, you'll be able to get on I-41 from Packerland and from Lawrence Drive.
Oh.
So that's a milestone. The next milestone, we're in design on the railroad crossing and the Fox River crossing. That has an environmental report that's due here in November, October, November. Once we submit that environmental report, we'll turn over to design, and then the pace will pick up. We'll start getting into real estate, talking to property owners about the real estate, if there's any real estate impacts. And so that'll be a big milestone for those two projects.
Now, I wanted to ask under the public part, the concerns around the environmental. I mean, there always are.
Correct.
And I was just, I haven't heard a lot. I got to be honest with you on this project. It's more about the money. It's a little bit about who's paying for it, that kind of thing. And the need, I don't think anyone is concerned about that. But the environmental impact, do you have concerns or what are you hearing on that?
Yeah, so the last meeting we held in April, we had our second public information meeting on the design process. Through that, there's been a lot of feedback with regards to noise, what the potential will be for noise right. impacts on the corridor. So we did some noise reports for 15 and 16. And based on the data that they looked at there, they determined that while it was feasible to do something from a wall standpoint, it wasn't reasonable. In other words, the benefit or the cost benefit or the aesthetic wouldn't necessarily be reasonable to the project. There was some impact. I think the biggest impacts are really on the east side of the river, on the north side, at least at this point. We still have to do those investigations for GV 17 and 18, of course, which we haven't done yet. But part of the issue that comes up is there's one, for example, if there's one parcel that's impacted on the west side of the river and you look at the noise impact and then they look at the wall to alleviate that, and the wall is 50 feet long and 20 some feet tall. Well, is that really reasonable to build that type of a structure for right. that, for that impact? Right.
But, okay. They're not going to go away. I mean, you know, that, I guess, but you're making the decision that the juice isn't worth the squeeze on that wall.
Well, the project makes a decision as we using the federal money and the state money, we have to follow state and federal guidelines and requirements. And through that environmental process, they lay all those requirements out for us. So here's, you have to do a noise study. Here's how it's done. Here's what it means. And so we evaluate all of that right. using those criteria they give us. And then that tells us whether or not we can use the project funds for that activity.
So it's data driven.
Correct.
Okay. It's like, yep. it's like a traffic study.
Right.
Okay.
Very similar.
That makes a lot of sense to me. You've had some public meetings on this. You've also, this has been in the press. What are you hearing from the public? Residents, businesses? Businesses has got to be delighted.
Yeah, there's been a lot of favorable comments. Good. There's, you know, I wouldn't say they're unfavorable. They're just concerned, right? And so the big concerns have really been around noise, some concern regarding that maybe the potential traffic speed. What is the speed of the corridor going to be? There's been some other comments. And then questions about what do we do with the Fox Trail? What, maybe one road is a rustic road. What does the access there look mm-hmm. like? Where do we put a roundabout versus maybe no intersection or a right in or right out? And so it's been some of those right. more site specific.
So the current timeline, when will this be done?
So right now, the GV 15 and 16 will be built in 28 and 29. The majority of the corridor should be done by the end of 2030, 2031.
Wow. And
so that we'll have two projects done here, the end of 26, and then the next steps right. in construction are 28, 29. And
you're the top guy. Everything reports up to you. How confident are you? You hit that.
Well, I think I'm very confident in the schedule at this point.
You're a very confident guy. Yeah. Thanks for being here. Chris Hardy, the highway commissioner, really overseeing this Southern Bridge connection. And we're glad to have people like you.
Can I say one thing?
Quickly.
We have information on the department webpage, and so reach out to the Brown County Highway Department, right. and there's a lot of information there.
Terrific. All right. Chris Hardy, thanks for being here. Go to the website, Brown County, if you want to learn anything more. Thanks for joining us. This is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.